This is KCUR 89.3. Statehouse Blend is a weekly political podcast that investigates the Kansas legislature and the Missouri General Assembly.
Introduce yourself, please.
Hi, I'm State Representative Deron McGee, and I represent the 36th District in Kansas City, which is essentially South Kansas City.
Also, Dylan Little, our citizen guest. He works at Mid-Continent Library. Welcome to you, Dylan.
Thank you very much.
Glad you're here. Dylan, let's start with you. What's on your mind this morning?
I'm really interested to, since you're a new senator, what the first year or the first session has been like, and I'm interested in hearing what your experiences have been like introducing bills. Or I saw that you proposed a bill about basically looking for people who are politicians not to be working as consultants after the fact. Can you talk a little bit about that and where that is currently?
One of a lot of bills that were packaged and discussed as part of ethics reform in the legislature
right.
this
so,
year.
So, first off, I want to start back to introducing legislation. I am a Democrat in the majority Republican legislature. We don't introduce legislation. I did file a bill that would allow for folks who it was not for elected officials, but it was for folks who work for elected officials. So this Kansas City Star about a couple months ago did an article where the leading candidate for attorney general, who was also a state senator and chairman of appropriations committee, his chief of staff, was paid a salary from the state of about $80,000 being his chief of staff. And on the side, as a political consultant, made about $500,000 working for special interests and different industries as a consultant. The issue becomes is that if you're not on the inside, you wouldn't really know this. So the issue is becoming is that the legislators' assistants and their chief of staffs control the flow of legislation and the direction of policy, and they have influence. In some aspects, they may have more influence than the elected official because they sort of set the calendar, they set the agenda, and you sort of follow to their tune unless it's a really big priority, you know. And so maybe a senator may not have direct influence over something, but if my chief of staff is working on the side consulting for the tobacco industry and they have legislation in my committee, then he or she may put it on my hearing to say, oh, we need to hear this, you know, this is important.
So that bill died in committee.
It never even got a hearing.
And were you satisfied with the ethics reforms that did pass in this session of the General Assembly?
Well, not really. Ultimately something is better than nothing. But I will say that they passed a bill that allowed elected officials to not be political consultants. But the problem is that's not an issue. We're busy being elected officials. We're not political consultants. I'm not working for any other campaign other than my own to try to help someone else get elected or any issues. That's not an issue. It's a rarity that you see people getting paid, senators or reps getting paid as political consultants. And they also included statewide officers. When was the last time you saw Governor Nixon or Secretary Kander being paid as political consultant? It's not likely. It's very unlikely.
So you feel like the legislation was more symbolic than actual?
And that's exactly what it was. It was symbolic because people felt like we had to do something with the rampant things that were going on in the legislature. One good thing that did come out of this ethics reform was that now you have to wait a session before you can resign and become a lobbyist. We previously had no waiting period in terms of the revolving door. For example, my district could elect me in November. I could put my hand on the Bible and be sworn in January, and I could turn around February and say, this isn't for me, and then be the chief lobbyist for some company tomorrow. And that was totally legal. And then what it does is it disenfranchises voters because A, they have no representation, and B, you all have to pay for another election to elect someone else. And my election, just to hold my election, costs Kansas City residents, I believe, $50,000 for one special election.
Well, let me come back to that. But let me ask you about something else going on in the legislative season, which is that we're between the time when the session has ended and the veto override session in September. The governor every few days comes out with another package of bills that he has either signed or vetoed. One of those big ones this week, a little more than a week ago now, was Governor Nixon's decision to veto the permitless concealed carry legislation. It also included the Stand Your Ground legislation. That bill passed the House and the Senate with enough votes to override the governor's veto. What did you think of it?
The Republican majority had a really tough session. For them to have the supermajority that they have, it was a very tough session for them. They lost on the Religious Liberty Bill, which is SJ 39. They lost on paycheck deception, which would have basically required unions. Right now, if you are at a union job, you can sign up to have your union dues taken out of your paycheck. You do it; it's a one-time deal. You don't have to do it again.
Right. They referred to this as paycheck protection.
Yeah. Yes. They referred to it as paycheck protection. This would have required them to do it every year, which would have caused some sort of administrative issues for them. They also tried to pass a highway bill that did not see the light of day. So on all of their key issues, they had failed. And they, let be clear, they don't need us for anything, Democrats. They don't need us for anything. They had nothing to really show their base. I mean, it's an election year. Donald Trump is their nominee. They had to show something. In the last 4 hours of session, they pulled up Stand Your Ground, and they passed it. Overwhelmingly, it wasn't even on the calendar. They just brought it up, and that's what they pushed through. I envision that they will probably override the governor's veto because they have the numbers, and they have to show that they have done something.
Even after the Orlando shootings, because that happened after the session ended, after this bill was passed, before the governor's veto, you think that won't affect enough votes or any votes?
I don't think it will have much of an effect. I think the bigger effect will be, in my opinion, the Missouri Sheriff's Association has opposed this bill. The Missouri Prosecutors Association has opposed this bill. You have a lot of Republicans who are, you know, your law and order Republicans, and I think that may have more of an effect than anything else. But this legislative session, I can really boil down to the three G's. It boiled down to God, gays, and guns. That's what it boiled down to. Mm. And it was a real waste of time for the voters of this state.
So is this the kind of future that Missouri Democrats have to look forward to, hoping to kind of scrape together some victories by teaming up with some moderate Republicans? Or do you see any kind of resurgence for Democrats electorally speaking? I mean, we are in election season. We've got primaries less than a month away.
Before I got elected, I was a campaign manager. I told you in several elections, and I always look at things from a political lens. I will say, you know, there are several things. In the short term, yes, I think we've got to find our victories where we can, working with moderate Republicans who aren't crazy. I mean, that's just a simple, short, and sweet of it. But I think we've got to do two other things. We have got to, and I think the Kansas Democratic Party is having the same issue. I think they're in a little worse situation than we are. But as Democrats, we've got to start working on recruitment. I mean, that's our biggest thing. We left 66 seats in the Missouri House uncontested. We didn't file anybody. And it only takes 82 seats to get a majority. So they've already got 66 seats walking in. Mm-hmm. We've got to start recruiting candidates. I think we need to have a candidate in every race, even if we don't think we can win. And then the next biggest fight is in 2020 when we start redistricting. That's really where this comes. That is the root of all of this, is redistricting. Districts have been drawn and gerrymandered specifically to keep their majority.
But it's the legislature that draws the districts.
Well, yes. And if we can't agree, which we never will, it goes to the courts. The courts draw the maps.
So you think there is a chance that the Democrats could make some significant redistricting gains?
This state is not, in my opinion, this state is not a red state. I don't believe so.
Well, that is Representative Daron McGee. But you know what? We do have one more thing for you, Daron.
Yes.
We always try to get to know our legislator guest by asking them to choose our closing song. If there's a piece of music that you think captures this moment or the state of Missouri or the General Assembly session just passed, what song should we end with today?
Well, that's going to be an interesting one. I would probably have to say, since we've been talking about politics and the Democratic Party, I'm going to be very optimistic, so we can go with All I Do Is Win.
Yes.
All I Do Is Win. Who's the artist on that?
That's DJ Khaled.
There we go.
All right.
There's your choice. Thanks again to Daron McGee. Statehouse Blend is produced by Matt Hodapp. You can find us on iTunes or at kcur.org/statehouseblend. Thanks for joining us. See you next time. All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
That was an excerpt from Statehouse Blend. KCUR 89.3's podcast about the Kansas Legislature and the Missouri General Assembly. You can find more episodes by taking out your phone and subscribing on iTunes or at kcur.org/statehouseblend.